bloody hell is this?
Oh boy, oh boy.
It can't be.
Footy Mythbusters.
Stewart goes towards Waite, but he couldn't pick it up. Now Rioli going around the boundary line. He fires. Look at his double. What a goal by Rioli. And there he is, Mr. Magic himself.
Taken by the Wizard. Long. And look at this kick. Long. It's going to bounce. Oh, he's goals. The Wizard. Morris is back in business.
Morris Rioli, what a great player he was, and some of the old commentary there as well. We're joined by a former teammate of his and a really good friend of his, the late Morris Rioli, but we're joined by Phil Egan. Welcome to you, Phil.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, don't be too formal,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, come on, Phil.
That's right, it's afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, listen, you and I were really good mates at Richmond. We're not now, but... no, we are. But we were really close, and we spent a lot of time together, and you in particular spent a lot of time with Morris Rioli, and there's a lot of sort of fact or fiction, myth or legend associated with the great and late Morris Rioli, but... just take us back to when he first arrived, and he arrived with that reputation that he was a Golden Gloves boxer, and he'd beat the crappers out of Mark Jackson in the ring over at South Fremantle Footy Club. And was he actually a Golden Gloves boxer, Morris Rioli?
Well, he was a boxer. He was a boxer of some sort. He was a state title holder in the late 70s in the welterweight and middleweight divisions in the amateurs and in Western Australia, and he was very, very good, obviously.
Yeah, so was he Golden Gloves?
Well, I don't even know what that means, Brian. But
okay, did he beat up Jackson? Did he get hold of Jacko in the ring over there? Did that happen?
Definitely got hold of Jacko. But look, Morris did try out for the Olympic trial, 1980 Olympic Games, and was controversially knocked out in the state round. So he didn't actually make it to a big selection table or the ring, but yes, he could fight. I can tell you, I recall
Moscow Games.
Yes, 1980.
And what were you going to recall then?
Well, when he first came over, you know, I think it was TJ threw us in the ring.
Because you were pretty good.
I was quite caught, as you remember, Brian. And
you were fast, but I was a bit faster.
Well, I jumped in with Morris, and I was a little young, smart aleck, 18-year-old, and I popped him on the nose, and there was a bit of blood. And as soon as I noticed it, I just jumped out. I thought, nah, I'm not having any of this.
Yeah, no, he was pretty good, that is for sure. Now, he arrived in some controversy, Morris Rioli. What are your memories in regards to, because Jeff Raines was a triple best and fairest player at Richmond. He was probably the best centreman at the competition at the time. He was, you know, just played in the premiership in 1980 and all of that sort of stuff. And in those days, you played in your position. And if you got moved from your position, it was a bit of a downgrade, really. And Rioli turns up. All of a sudden, Rioli goes into the middle. I think Raines went to the wing. What was your memory of that? Was there a lot of infighting over that or not?
I wouldn't say infighting, but there was definitely a lot of tension, to say the least. You know, Raines was a bloody good footballer to watch and to play with, but he's very, very, very proud. As you say, Bron, in those days, you hung your hat on a position, and Raines was the centreman. You know, it was the marquee position.
Yeah, it was.
You know, for Richmond at the time, I guess, and for most clubs. But, you know, Morris comes along, and I know that, you know, Morris's first few games is only half forward and wing, but, you know, they reversed that around a little bit. I just couldn't understand for the life of me why you got the two best on-ballers going around playing as a rover, centreman, but they didn't do that very often.
That's right. That's the thinking in those days. They would have been thinking, no, a rover's a small guy like Barry Rowlings. We've got to play that sort of player as a rover, whereas you're right. They could have played Raines and Rioli on the ball together with Waitman.
Imagine that. Imagine playing half forward then, Brian.
Yeah.
You would have picked 200.
Yeah, I probably would have.
No, he would have. Hey, we're speaking to Phil Egan. Yeah. We should reintroduce Phil. Great player for the Richmond Footy Club. Robin Vale boy.
Yeah, Sunraysia boy.
Assumption College boy, of course. Filthy, weren't you?
Yes, spent a little bit of time there, Bill.
Yeah, you did, with the great Ray Carroll.
Yes.
A great mate of Jamie Siddons too, Phil. Yes. You still are great mates.
Lived with Jamie Siddons on Richmond Hill, didn't you?
Yep, he boarded with me between Sydney and Melbourne and all his national and state cricket duties, certainly did.
Hey, with regard to Morris, my memory, Phil, of him was watching as a devoted Claremont fan, the late 70s, early 80s, the great rivalry between South Fremantle and Claremont. And the 1981 Grand Final in the Waffle, which is one of the all-time great games, and had still to this day the greatest all-in blue I've ever seen in about the six-minute mark. I've never seen anything like it. Stephen Michael, the great Stephen Michael, had to grab Phil and Jimmy out of there because Morris was about to get hold of both of them. And Stephen thought, if Jimmy, he's a jockey size but loved throwing him.
Got Mark Harvey once.
He said, if I don't get Jimmy out of here, he ain't going to last the first quarter. But Morris that day, Phil, had 32 possessions, I reckon, won the Simpson Medal for best on ground in a losing team.
Yeah, well, he did that. He did that in 1982 as well, didn't he? For us in
The Norm Smith
Medal. Dance. Yeah.
Hey, he was a phenomenal footballer.
The Rioli family tree. Just give us a little bit on the Rioli family tree because we've seen Daniel and Cyril come and go, and
Willie's over in West Coast.
Yeah, and now there's Morris Jr. who's currently at Scots College. How old would he be, Phil?
Morris Jr., look out for this one, boys. He's 16. He loves it. He's adjusted well in Melbourne, and he absolutely loves it. He's playing very, very good footy in the, I think it's the AGS they play
in. So his dad, Morris, that we're talking about, has been unequaled in tackling. We know Cyril is a great tackler. We know Daniel is a great tackler. But Morris, in my opinion, and probably yours as well, don't put words in your mouth, but is probably still better. And so what we're seeing here is Morris Jr. This is from Morris's second marriage, though, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Right. So where do the other Riolis fit in, Cyril and Daniel?
Well, Cyril's in a cultural sense, his grandfather or his grandson.
Yep.
But in mainstream society or white society, if you like, it's his great-nephew.
Right.
So it's Sibby. You might have heard of Morris's brother, Sibby.
Yeah, Sebastian, who played with South Fremantle.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's his proper grandfather.
Right.
In a white sense. So he's... And Willie is obviously Morris's true nephew. Willie's the youngest brother in the family of Morris and Sibby and Sebastian and Manny and Johnny and all the lines. Yeah.
So this whole clan was all based, Jim, around Morris Rioli. That was where it was all started. That's where it all emanated from. It was Morris that got here first. He was the first of the clan to come to Melbourne, play, try his luck in the big time, and exert himself on the competition.
There was eight brothers, wasn't there?
Yes.
Eight Rioli brothers.
Mm.
And Phil, just to back over, just to back over what you just said there about Morris Jr., you rate him really highly by the sound of it. You reckon he's the next Rioli to play AFL, is that?
Well, he's a lot like his dad. He plays, he's a little bit taller. He's probably 5'11". And he, I've watched him play a few times, and he's a bit of a mix of them all. It's hard to say he's like.
Come on, Phil, he's not listening. Tell us how good he is.
He's worth watching. I know that South Fremantle have got his finger on the pulse, and he desperately wants to play for Richmond. I know that, and I think he can. I rate him higher than Daniel at the same time, put it that way.
Geez, right.
That's a big rate. Let me ask you if this is true, because this is I've spoken to Mal Brown about it, but I'm not 100% sure if what I get out of Brown is 100% true. And that is that Mark Jackson, playing for South Fremantle in the Waffle, decided that he was the toughest bloke at the club.
Yep, it's true.
And they said, righto, well, if you think you are, you can wander in with Morris, who actually was the toughest bloke at the club. Anyway, Laurie Flanders, the great boxing coach at South, they ting the bell to start the 3 minutes, Phil. And apparently Morris made an awful mess of Jacko. And the round went a hell of a lot longer than 3 minutes because every time Laurie was trying to get in and ting the bell, Mal just put his arm across and said, no, I think he could do it a little more. Is that true?
Very, very true story. Very, very true.
I love that.
Great story.
All right, Phil. Well, you're right up and about anyway.
Hey, what are you doing now, Phil?
Yeah.
Looking after two grandchildren and just doing a lot of education consultancy work when I see fit, when I need to.
When you need to. Where are you still? Where are you living?
Oh, we've been in Essendon for many years. Love it here. All the kids sort of live around and the grandsons are
within
a kilometre away.
He's all right.
He's in charge of about a $50 million budget, so he's looking after
doing
things.
Well.
Hey, Phil, thanks, mate.
Thank you.